Welcome to Day Zero Update for July 26, 2026. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, and we've got a two-man crew this week as Dan Erb is out.
Yep.
But we do have plenty of things to talk about. We got a bunch of industry news as more bad things are happening.
Yep.
Though there are some good news here. We'll get to that stuff. Along with a preview of what's coming out in August and September, as there is a bunch of games coming out then, so we will talk about that stuff here a little bit later at the end of the show. And before we do that, we'll talk about playing, and I'll kick it off here. I've been playing a good bit of Splatoon Raiders on the Switch 2, which kind of takes the Splatoon formula, especially for their like multiplayer stuff, and kind of brings it into the single player. In a sense, you get a lot of the progression there of the leveling and all that a little bit. I think this goes a lot further than all of that. Because that you would just buy your stuff at shops and all that and just use it without any real worry about, you know, levels or anything. But that would just determine how you unlock stuff.
Yep.
Whereas here, it's kind of more loot-based.
Yep.
You got level for all of your weapons and even some of the gear stuff that they have here, though maybe more star based than level based. To determine if it gets, you know, bonus perks and all that kind of stuff. Where I'm at is I just finished getting the level 2 upgrade for the base. And I can do more upgrades and all that after beating the first big like almost like chapter boss kind of thing. That's was a pretty solid fight. I lost it the first time because I just had not really grasped how it worked, especially because they change your ultimate no matter what your setup is. So I was like expecting that to come out and kept getting the shark. Which was a little bit annoying because it's like, oh, this, I use the eel, which covers a good range, and like that would work pretty well here, but they kind of intend for you to use that when you kind of daze the boss. But yeah, the way they have this all set up is very, very kind of slow in terms of unlocking things for you. They kind of are very careful to not throw too much at you, even if you've played a bunch of games like this and know where it's going to go with all this.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw like the weapon drops and all that, I was like, I assume at some point I'll be able to feed these weapons into other weapons to power them up or grind them up or whatever you're going to do with it. Because you start having a pretty full inventory of weapons. Especially multiples of the same kinds. Where it's like, yeah, this is a lot of trash here that I would like to clean up at some point. Still not at the point where I can actually do that, but I can upgrade things, which seems pretty dumb to do early on.
Yeah.
Gonna keep getting better guns later on. Or early on. And yeah, there's definitely a good variety of weapons. I found the one that kind of works the best. For me, that dropped is like a almost like a rocket launcher type of weapon. Because it just gets you big damage on enemies. So that helps in some of the horde fights where you're just getting a bunch of them spawning at you. So it doesn't get you a ton of ammo to it. You kind of have to keep turning into the squid and refilling pretty often, but that has helped out a lot. I think the more recent ones I got was like a brush. It's sort of like the roller, though it's pretty weak. So that's been pretty bad to throw in for new builds, even if it's my highest level. That's going to be a thing you got to deal with early on, is like higher level does not mean better for your purposes. Really kind of want to try them out and see what kind of thing you're getting there, because you know you're not really getting any multiplayer where covering every square inch is going to be beneficial to you. Covering some of the ground is useful because you level up through that and can kind of run away through that when you get there. But there are also plenty of times where I had plenty of paint, but couldn't swim under enemies or anything, would get crowded in with all that. So you do get the like robot shell that one of your compatriots gets to control, whichever one you pick for the ultimate. And they do a little bit. They help a little bit. Not too much there. But yeah, I'm also at the point where they introduce these spicy levels for a higher level for all the early places you go, all the early missions you have. So if you want to grind some more, that's a way of getting that. And also the notion that you can go and help other people. There's no matchmaking in this game. The thing you can do is maybe use hashtags, as they kind of use them, that lets you matchmake with other people using that. I think they kind of make makeshift rooms for maybe communities and whatnot to gather in without having to have everybody on friends lists and all that. But they also have like a kill zone, or not kill zone, I'm blanking on the name, but like a rescue option of like, hey, this one's probably going to be tough for me. Let some people help me out on this if they want. Though if you guys fail the mission, you can't use it for another 30 minutes, which I'll say is a bit weird. Like if you can't beat that mission with a couple other people, then you probably need more help than the average person. So them banning you is like, ah, tough shit. Get good. The story is a bit weird to this. It's a very colonialist story, as the crew you're with kind of almost crashes their helicopter out in the ocean near these islands that have popped up after being submerged for hundreds of years or whatever. Which ends up being Salmonid Islands. Sort of the thing you're doing is looting their artifacts to sell, to make money to get back to Splatsville.
Well, you're not trying to get back to Splatsville. You're trying to make enough money so that you can repay the city's debt.
And there's a lot of interesting dialogue of like, oh, they deserve it.
Yeah.
Steal their artifacts because they deserve it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a little weird. Apparently it was more explicit early on in development, so they got kind of icky, but didn't really get rid of that aspect of it.
Yeah. Which should sort of give you an idea of like what direction this game's probably going to go story-wise.
Yeah.
That they're probably going to find out that the Salmonids were actually extremely sophisticated and civilized, and some awful shit happened that's basically making all the other Salmonids go nuts or whatever.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know, the first few of these, you should have started questioning that.
Yeah.
You idiots, but also they're too consumed with treasure.
Yeah, the girls of the trio of Deep Cut are not the smartest people on the planet.
Yeah. They are very much like, oh, there's this ancient drawing of this tower with shiny stuff on it. It's like, ooh, that's treasure. And it's like, yeah, and you're not questioning like how they have drawings of this stuff or anything, that they might be maybe more intelligent and cultural than you would expect. But yeah. So yeah, that's been fun to kind of jump into. Maybe some of the issues I have is like, the sort of loadouts you can build. It's a little tough to juggle that stuff because I have one for like each of the tanks, which gets you different sets of equipment that you can use alongside your gun and your ultimate. And so initially when I was like able to make those things, I was like, oh, I have the purple one with the turret. And I was like, oh, I like this thing from, I think it was the orange one.
Mm-hmm.
And once I realized, like, oh, that doesn't actually, you can't mix and match them, at least not right away. That was, like, pretty frustrating. Because it's, you know, they have kind of different play styles to them. A little bit. It's like the orange one has the defaults is the big axe you kind of swing around and get like two big hits in on enemies. That can help you kind of cut through hordes. But then the other one is like, I forget what the first one I unlocked was. I think it was the Vampire Survivor style, like spinning thing that spins around you to do damage at enemies and lays down some ink as well along the way. And the other one, the other tank has the big jump one. Essentially like a big shoe with ink on it that will flat on the ground and do damage to enemies nearby. Which is nice, but also you're, you know, putting yourself in direct location of the other enemies, so you gotta be careful. You're not killing them right away, which can be annoying for certain kinds of enemies, because there's like the one that has the circles that radiates out. It took me a while to realize I should just jump when they're going through. Didn't necessarily resonate as like, oh, this is a thing that's doing physical damage to me. See, more like you'll know when this guy's around just by seeing this, but then it'll take out huge chunks of your health if you're not careful. And so you get to a bunch of that kind of stuff, and like the one enemy that is basically a giant turret that shoots way across the map until you get up to it close.
You
start breaking it down, and that one's pretty annoying. So that's like a, especially annoying when they throw like two or three of those at you. But, yeah, I've been kind of going through and getting all of the missions done, and you get to somewhere it has, treasure chests for each of the tanks. So I've been, you know, building out my loadout for all that, and there's a lot of stuff to unlock in this. You build out your base with a bunch of extra stuff. Take some time to do that. Though I had the initial set of stuff unlocked way before I got close to doing the boss and getting to the next area, essentially. Because it was just pretty easy to do that. There's a bunch of those like alternate weapons you can use for your tanks. There's tinker stuff for each of those alternate weapons. It's essentially just like, here's some perks you can add to these that take up, you know, X amount of bars on this thing. You can upgrade the amount of bars you have for each of these tank weapons and all that. And there's the notion of upgrading weapons. And even on the tanks, there's a thing that will upgrade there after you use them for quite a while. And you have a level for your character that upgrades, you know, damage and health and all that. On your own thing, and there's quite a lot to grind out here, and I don't know if I'm going to go through all of that, but I'm looking forward to kind of progressing through the game itself so far, because that so far has been pretty good. Like the each of the missions is like 5 to 10 minutes depending on how many like levels of the underground dungeon stuff they do, or just how big the areas are. Most of them have been pretty straightforward stages for the stuff on the surface. And there's been like one that's been like a big, more open area. Kind of branches out a bit. But the other ones that are underground, there's either like one big fight or like three floors. It'll automatically progress after you get the requisite eggs for that.
Which is like one of those things where it's definitely challenging at first, because you basically have to like, for the record, you know, because I've played a crap ton of Salmon Run, I already knew basically how to fight most of these things, but when you're trying to get all of those eggs in, like, what is it, like a minute and a half or whatever, or even it, I don't even know if it's that much, it can be a struggle.
Yeah, especially if you come into the fight with the wrong weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was trying out the brush, and I realized, like, oh, this thing's worthless for this.
Yeah, brush, it can be very powerful, but it's a short range weapon.
Yeah.
It's basically a melee weapon for all intents and purposes, so.
Yeah, it seemed like it could do well on, like, a horde that's in your immediate
Oh, yeah.
proximity.
Absolutely.
But also at that point, it's probably not doing enough damage to make up for that.
Yeah.
So even though it was like level 10 versus my like rocket launcher was still level 5, that was doing like 500 plus damage versus like 130
Yeah.
for the brush. And I was like, yeah, this isn't really worth it for the splash damage you get off of that. So yeah, that was been pretty fun so far. But I would really like at any point Nintendo acknowledge that this is a genre that's been around for a long time, and some people don't need to be walked slowly through the concepts here.
No, but I mean, that's every Nintendo game.
Yeah.
They always approach it like this is going to be the first video game you ever play in your life.
Yeah. But it's also like, I don't really need to have you explain to me how this stuff works
Yeah.
all the time. But yeah, that's been fun. Yeah, let's see. I got some games out of the most recent Steam sale. I got a game called Lazy Kickers. This is the new game from Soz
Mm
Sosowski, maker of what is it? No, he doesn't have it under his name, does he? It's the ah, crap. I forget what the other game, the WarioWare-esque game of his. But yeah, he's been making a bunch of smaller games for a long time now, and this is his new one. He's been posting on social media and all that, that as he's been making it, and this is basically like an incremental game. Not really an idle game because you don't make progress when you're not playing. But essentially, you are building this soccer team, and that might be a bit misleading way to describe it, because essentially you start with like a player and a plant, and the plant grows soccer balls that the player can go kick into the soccer net that yields coins, and then you can have people collecting that to allow you to buy more players and plants and upgrade the speed of your players and the how long it takes your plants to grow. If you have farmers, they will water those plants to grow them a little faster, kind of stuff. And you're kind of progressing through these different leagues as the numbers get higher, and you keep progressing to essentially overtake the money you earn over the next team. And from there you get points that you can put into upgrading, how many plants and players and money, how much money you start with and all that. Sort of give you a head start there and unlock more upgrades and such and more positions that players can be. Like I have hooligans now. There's ninjas that grab your soccer balls and kick them to the opposite nets away from them and can explode your plants and like reset their growing progress and all that. And so you have hooligans to mess with them. You now have streakers that can just run around and drop coins somehow. It's all very silly and ridiculous. So yeah, it's a pretty fun one of these, and the nice thing is that they've added, or they have a desktop mode or like a widget mode, I think they call it, so that it can live on like a corner of your screen, so you can do other things you're doing without it really taking up much space, and you can just sit there and click to buy things and manage your crew and all that. Without necessarily having to dedicate much screen real estate for it. So that's been pretty fun in that. That is only like a $3 game on Steam. So that's one to check out if you want something pretty silly for that. The other game I got is a game called Leave It Alone. This is a simulator about being a person that, you know, breaks grass, or not grass, leaves. You initially start just picking up leaves, you know, by hand one at a time until you fill up your bag that can hold like 50 leaves, and eventually start getting upgrades that let you pick up more more leaves at a time, pick them up faster. At a certain point, you can just get rid of the need to keep clicking each time. You just kind of hold down the mouse button as you go. You go and look over in the little shed, and there's a way to upgrade your bag, so you can get up to 200 leaves, and then eventually 500 leaves you can hold at a time. Before you have to deposit them in the trash bin and get your money out of that. And you get a rake that can rake up these leaves, and you upgrade that to better, like, gather them up into a pile. And along the way, you're kind of getting some extra objectives that are like, one of those, jump into a pile of 1,000 leaves, which takes a bit because what it considers a pile is a pretty small space. But with the rake, I was able to kind of get that going. And there's like other things, like there's a basketball hoop and you are asked to shoot three things into it, which is like a basketball you find. You also find a beach ball, and there's at a certain point you get to bag up the leaves. You can shoot that into the net as well. Does some fun extra objectives there. Do all that. And the last thing you get is a leaf blower, which can be a good way of, you know, condensing the leaves into one space. And you upgrade that a bit to, you know, have more power and push more leaves around and all that, and make for a pretty fun way to get all of it in one place. Kind of just manage your ability to grab it, fill up your bag more easily with all that. And yeah, makes for a fun game that you can beat in about like 2 to 3 hours for your first run. And then has achievements that I've done for like, there are these like little grates you find that are leaf inlets that you can suck in the leaves there to get your money instead of having to run it back to the bin every time from around this house. And there's one for completing the game without repairing any of those, so I just did that the first time. And then second run, I did it with that to get all of the purchases done. There's like two more left, one that requires you to earn $700 during the course of this, which if you finish some of the areas, you get like a multiplier for the cash you earn. So it's like a very specific order of operations here for doing that. So I'm still working on that. And there's another one for beating the game in under 40 minutes. So there's obviously a path there for getting all the leaves that I'll have to work on. But yeah, this is a really fun one of these that also kind of gets you to doing some more like speed run type stuff. That was pretty fun. And that one has been pretty good. Also working on updates, I think, for the 1 year anniversary. That'll be in like October, that they're adding a castle map for free, which seems really cool. So that's one to check out. It's like $6 normally. It's on sale for like $4 now, so that one's worth checking out. You want a chill kind of game for one of these.
Then
I've been playing some more Pro Spirit 2026, the Konami baseball game. Been enjoying playing some more the career mode, star player, as I'm just playing as a batter and kind of getting better at that. Still not playing super well, but I am hitting more home runs a little more consistently when I can. But you have ups and downs as you go, so which makes sense for a baseball game.
Oh yeah,
like this. So that's been fun, and still been playing more Power Wash Simulator 2 as I'm working my way through the Star Wars DLC. I finished the third and fourth jobs, which are after you've been taken by the Imperials, and you're forced to clean an AT-AT on Hoth.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this isn't set during Episode 5, because they're talking about maybe it is. I don't know, but mm-hmm. the dialogue stuff you get doesn't seem to imply that that is the time frame it is in. I think it's still during the first game, the first movie. But yeah, that was a pretty fun thing to clean. I kind of wish you had the ab sail to clean that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of get up in on the sides a little more easily, but they do give you some of the bigger structures to get some cleaning done on there. Then the fourth one, you're on the Super Star Destroyer bridge. Mm-hmm. So you're cleaning this whole space out, which is pretty cool. It's got like you see this one kind of mostly in like the sequel trilogy, where Hux is hanging out a lot of the time, with the two like little spaces kind of underneath the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty solid there. So yeah, that's a fun one. And yeah, I got two more to do, and I know what they are. So looking forward to doing those, and hopefully finishing that up this week. So that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So haven't you, Brandon?
Well, just like you, I was also playing Splatoon Raiders, and I think you pretty much went over everything I was going to talk about. So yeah, I can pretty swiftly go by that. Other than the fact that, yeah, I have been playing it. I've been playing it basically since I got my copy on Thursday, and yeah, it's incredibly fun. If you're a veteran Splatoon player, like it still offers some like really nice surprises, especially the fact that they basically decided to go the route of a looter shooter, which basically does really well for this particular franchise. And also just, you know, it's just in general, it's Splatoon. It's really fun. Unlike, you know, the past Splatoon games, you know, the campaign doesn't quite feel like an afterthought. It actually is the main focus, and it's a pretty good one too. Other than that, I have also been playing Deltarune still, and guess what? I still have not gotten past that particular boss, and it's not for lack of trying. It's just that very last attack that this particular boss uses is very hard to avoid. And it's not really clear exactly what hits you and what doesn't. But it's still Deltarune. It's still a lot of fun. And I'm going back and finding stuff I didn't find my first time around. So, you know, that's really cool. But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news, as we have plenty of it. So yeah, this game Point P, which if you've paid attention to the games that Netflix has had on their app, this is sort of one of the best ones they've had in the last couple of years.
Mm.
It's from Ojiro Fumoto, the creator of Downwell. And it's kind of a similar idea to Downwell, but very cartoonish and brightly colored. Mm-hmm. And you're going up instead of down. Because, yeah, Point P is like the blob that's rising up from the ground as you're progressing up the screen and sort of bouncing off of him to get to, you know, fruits and all this other stuff you're trying to collect along the way. And it's a really fun game. And it seems like their deal with Netflix has ended, so Devolver Digital and the developer have put it out properly on iOS and Android for people to play.
Mm-hmm.
For free with no ads or anything like that to it, because that would probably just more work.
Yeah.
Had add stuff to it after making it for a non-ad platform. So that's cool. That's one you should check out if you have not played it before.
All right.
So yeah, that's one to check out from mobile. Let's see, for some other date stuff, we got Echo Weaver that's coming out on October 8th for PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC, and this is described as like a knowledge-based Metroidvania.
Yeah.
Where it's set during a time loop kind of situation and you need to learn about the things that are going on and use that to exploit it. Try to break the cycle eventually.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that looks like a pretty neat one of these that'll be out in October. So, yeah.
Cool.
There you go.
It definitely looks neat.
Yeah. That's one of the new dates we got for this fall. Though we do have another date that is for early next year in February, as we found out that God of War Lafay is going to actually be launching February 16th of next year. So that's cool. It's not too far away. Not a surprise that it's not that far away. Considering when it was revealed, it was a good 20 minutes, you know, gameplay demo of the sort of beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you would necessarily do that if you didn't have the game mostly
already
done at that
ready
point.
To go. Yeah.
And so, yeah, they were talking about this at a panel at San Diego Comic-Con. And, you know, surprise, surprise, saying that there's going to be another God of War game with Kratos as the lead, which is the least surprising thing ever. Because, yeah, this takes place during the first game and maybe the second game, too. We don't know, but we do know the beginning of this game ties into the beginning of the first of the Norse myth stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
And I bet by the end of this, you'll have an idea where Kratos may be going for the next game. That seems like a whole thing there. So,
oh, yeah.
So there you go. That'll be a fun early next year game. Give me some time to go back and finish Ragnarok.
Yeah. I finished it a little while back. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's that. That's it for the dates. But we do have some more news. Xbox had some interesting announcements here. They are doing Xbox backwards compatibility on PC.
Yep.
That is starting with a 4-pack of Xbox original games. And there's some caveats to this. One, obviously, discs don't work on PC.
Nope.
You can't put your Xbox discs on your PC if you have a disc drive there and get access to it through that. For the time being, that's still just the Series X.
Yeah.
The only way you can do that on the current consoles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the first four games are Blinks the Time Sweeper, Conquer Live and Reloaded, Crimson Skies, High Road to Revenge, and Fusion Frenzy. Yeah, it's also exclusive to Windows 11. So if you don't have Windows 11 on your PC, then you're not checking these out. And they're also only on the Windows Store.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to use the Windows Store, then you're not getting them either. So, yeah. They have added achievements, or they're going to be adding achievements to this at some points. So that is not surprising. Like, Sony's had that for a bunch of their PS2 and PS1 and PSP games for a while now. So nice to see that Xbox has kind of figured that out on their end. I think they're adding that to the Xbox versions as well, the console versions. So you'll be able to get those as well. So, yeah. It's nice to see, but yeah, I don't have the Windows 11 OS to check any of these out. So they're not making them all that accessible.
Yeah.
They will work on the PC handhelds that have Windows in them, Windows 11 especially, so like the ROG Ally stuff, to add Windows 11 to your Steam Deck, you can access it that way. But yeah, otherwise, that's about what's going on there. So
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how this grows over time.
Yep.
But yeah, it's going to be similar to the console front where they'll add games over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the publishers or developers to approve them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they get more, like, bigger batches to the added to this, or if it's going to be a bit slower than it was on Xbox.
I have no idea. We'll have to see. But I mean, it's Microsoft, so I mean, it really is a coin toss.
Yeah, I can see, because like a lot of these games are already on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And publishers may be like, "Eh, we're good. We'll sell them directly on PC. That'll have more accessibility than these do, and we won't have to split money with you guys."
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that won't be the case. We'll see. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The other Xbox news seems to be that for Xbox insiders, mm-hmm. on the console front, they can test out their free xCloud streaming, mm-hmm. that will have ads. It seems like the current thing they're testing is about 2 minutes of ads for 1 hour of streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could watch more ads to preload essentially like more time to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you'll just watch 2 minutes worth of ads and then play for an hour and then get booted out to watch two more minutes of ads playing, or if it'll just be 1 hour session.
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting that's what they're testing right now. See how people like this. Because, yeah, like the cloud streaming stuff on Xbox and PlayStation at the moment requires subscriptions to their services.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where this goes in the future. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that'll be an option you'll maybe have at some point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. I don't know if that's something that interests you, Brandon.
Not really right now.
Yeah. But yeah, let's get to this next bit of news. Avatar Legends, the big release of this past week. Unless you're on Xbox and maybe also on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Because they announced hours before the game was supposed to release on all the platforms that the Xbox version has been delayed to September 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Due to, quote, unforeseen circumstances on a back-end feature.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like a wild thing to say and wait until, you know, right before people would be playing it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's some back-end issue thing we can't figure out, so we have to delay this, you know, a month and change.
Yeah.
So luckily people aren't getting their pre-orders canceled there, but I'm sure some people will probably cancel it and buy it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, also for the Switch version, it seems like the Switch and the Switch 2 versions will launch without crossplay.
Mm-hmm.
Will only be available in English. As I say here, the Nintendo Switch version will be available as the standard edition only.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, cross-play with other platforms and language localization beyond English will not be available. We are committed to bringing these features along with upgrading to Deluxe Edition to players as soon as possible, and we'll keep you updated on our timeline and progress. So that's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be like, we didn't figure out how cross-play works in time for launch. For the Switch. Which is then like maybe I don't know if this is actually on the Switch 2. Might just be a Switch version you're playing on the Switch 2.
Mm.
But yeah, that is the case, and it's like, yeah, Switch 2 version might have been the ideal thing, but the way they're framing all of this, like they just couldn't get it Everything finished for launch.
Mm-hmm.
You only got the PC and PlayStation versions ready for launch.
Yeah.
Fully. It's weird. Like, you should delay it then. If that's the case where two of your four platforms are not ready for launch. Maybe it should have all been delayed.
Yeah.
But then maybe they're worried about Marvel TOCON.
Mm-hmm.
That comes out, you know, about 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe eating their lunch on PlayStation and PC.
Yeah.
And like, we gotta have those ready to get money out of people for now.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
it's just a very weird situation.
Oh, yeah. just really dumb and frankly unprofessional.
Yeah, just haven't seen a game released like this in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like the game's like broken or anything. It's just weird to be so unready for launch on two of your four platforms. That I feel like their fans probably would have been more receptive to this to be told ahead of time.
Yes.
Before they put money down. That's if they saw this announcement ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems really rather ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's your Avatar news.
Yep.
But yeah, we got this bit of news here. The devs of Three Fields Entertainment worked on Recreation. It came out, I believe, last year. That did okay, but not all that great, and essentially had to kind of take on further updates for the game onto their own after THQ Nordic sort of declined to keep funding that stuff.
Yeah.
Seems like that's then they have effectively spawned a new studio called When Tides Turn. Like a successor studio to Three Fields Entertainment, where they're going to be working on Recreation 2.
Mm-hmm.
They put out like a trailer for that, and I don't know necessarily what the new game is going to be doing. It seemed from the description that they put out that it may have less of the like created content stuff as far as like the original game. You would, you know, build new roads and such and like trick stuff and all that for courses and all that. So that made for an interesting idea, but it seems like they may just be focusing on arcade racing here for this sequel. So yeah, we'll see where this one goes, but I'm excited to see more out of this studio.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see where that goes.
But yeah, it's definitely good news for people who were wanting to hear another, get another piece of that franchise. So yeah.
Yeah. That was some surprising news to find out. So yeah, wishing the best of luck. Let's see, in our last bit of good news here involves Alpha Dog Games returning to existence after Microsoft shut them down back in 2024.
Yep.
This is the mobile game team that made, what was it here? Mighty Doom.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty fun mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're, you know, controlling the Doom Marine. Going through these stages, killing enemies and all that, and building up your weapons and all that for future runs, or something you can kind of keep doing quick runs over and over again. But it didn't do well enough to keep them alive after Microsoft shut them down.
Yeah.
And so, luckily, 2 years later, the studio's founder, Sean Woods, confirmed that they are, they bought the rights to the team and all this stuff that they, you know, were working on from Microsoft. And essentially reformed the team.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people have returned from that, because it's been like 2 years. But, yeah. That is some good news, at least.
Yeah.
And now we're no longer beholden to Microsoft's random whims.
Yeah, seriously, just the the fact that they can keep operating and not have to deal with Microsoft breathing down their necks can only be a plus.
Yeah, so that's good news. And that's gonna be the end of that for this show.
Yeah.
We'll get to some bad news here.
Get
First
ready.
up,
There's a lot of it.
some bad Xbox news.
Oh, of
As
course.
an Xbox VP that Asha Sharma brought onto the team from, I think, their core AI team that she came from,
Yeah.
Jared Palmer, has left 3 months after joining the team. He has left to join Cognition to lead their engineering. I assume that's an AI company for whatever reason, but yeah. Interesting because when he joined, he basically he laid out a series of personnel changes. Oh no. Yeah, she praised Ashara praised him as a product leader who understands modern development, including where tools can remove friction and help teams move faster. And yeah, I believe he said at some point he was there to help solve the toughest problems that they have at Xbox. Yeah, working directly with me on our most complex product and engineering problems, the focus on developer tooling, taste, and infrastructure. And I don't know what it says other than he probably got a pretty good offer to just leave after 3 months, but it also just looks like, the guy who said he was here to solve the toughest problems and then gave up 3 months later.
Yeah, that's not a good sign, is it?
Yeah. That the money he got from this other job was more enticing to him. So yeah, that's the first domino that's fallen from the Asha Sharma team.
Yeah.
May not be a significant one, but still weird. So there you go. Also, this new team received $21 million in backing from Peter Thiel's founder fund in 2024.
Yep.
And is already valued at $4 billion. So he's going to a place associated with Peter Thiel. So
Yeah, not exactly the best judge of character.
yeah. So yeah, there you go. On to that one. That's your Xbox. I think the end of your Xbox news for the week.
Yeah.
But we do have some Hasbro news, as they are famously a company with just a ton of properties and IPs that never seems to know what to do with any of it.
Yep.
They spend a lot of time trying things, failing at a lot of them, and never really learning what to do in the future. So with the success of Baldur's Gate 3, they said, hey, we're going to invest in games because this can make us a lot of money. And unfortunately, they've not had much immediate success. And so, yeah, they've had to record a $56 million non-cash write-down after canceling several video games that were scheduled for 2028 and beyond. So it seems like any of the stuff they got coming in the near future by the end of next year should be okay. We'll see, but that includes Exodus and Warlock, two of their new titles that are planned for next year. Warlock being set in the D&D universe are still in development. Yeah, and I guess their CEO Chris Cox, and that's the COX way of saying spelling Cox, just a weird thing to see throughout this article. Of Cox said both meet the bar Hasbro intends to set for owned publishing by delivering big audience potential, strong genre fit, franchise potential, and meaningful opportunities beyond the initial game. Will they please the buzzword enjoyer? So there you go. At least good for those two games. But yeah, they're experiencing the problem that a lot of non-gaming companies do, which is you have to invest a lot and experience a lot of failure in trying to set up, a publishing entity. And it doesn't always bear fruit right away. So you have to kind of keep investing in that.
Yep.
Then you may eventually work your way up to a good publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that Hasbro is that kind of company.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so far. We'll see if anything happens to Exodus or Warlock.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm still very excited for Exodus when it comes out next year. Warlock sounds pretty neat, too. So, yeah. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we will. Let's see. We got some layoffs here. Splitgate developer, 1047 Games, has announced they are laying off some staff. Because, yeah, they just launched a game called Impulse. I believe a free-to-play shooter that is emulating the Titanfall, or not Titanfall, the Anthem. Not Anthem.
Yep.
Apex Legends, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the thing they were trying to emulate, and it seemed like it did not go well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because this was the first time I heard of this game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, multiple team members have been posting messages on LinkedIn to alert, you know, people that something was going off there. So yeah, it's been their third wave of studio layoffs over the past year or so.
Yeah.
Which is not too surprising.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah. There you go. Some sad news for them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Then we got here Vermilla Studios has announced they're laying off 19 staff members.
Mm-hmm.
And are at risk of closing down after a few months after their game launched.
Yeah.
Crystal Theater of Idols.
Yeah, which sucks because that's actually a really good, pretty good game.
Yeah. It launched February 10th of this year, published by Blumhouse Games. And yeah, it just has not done well enough to keep the studio afloat.
Mm-mm.
And yeah, now they're laying off probably most of the team, I guess.
Yeah.
That number.
Yeah, pretty much.
And yeah, it just has not blown anybody's minds on this front, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So yeah, they seem like they are on the verge of having to shut down at some point in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be sad, but yeah. There you go.
All right.
And unfortunately, having worse luck than that, Midgar Studio, who's been working on Edge of Eternity for Nacon, has unfortunately been ordered to be liquidated.
Yep.
By the bankruptcy judge, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
As they were hoping to find a buyer to buy them, and that just did not seem to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They say here, Midgar founder Jeremy Zalar-Mari, thing I had hoped to come back here and announce that we had found an acquirer. Fortunately, the court has now ordered the liquidation of Midgar Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially means that game is going to be canceled. Unless Nacon keeps it and all the, you know, all the work that's been done on it and finds a new studio to work on it, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like likely that just gets crashed. Unfortunately, and yeah, they had been working on a bunch of these games. Edge of Memories was their last game, I believe. So, yeah, a shame that they were one of the few that couldn't find their way out of Nacon or be allowed to at least finish the game, because it seemed like they were hoping to finish it this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. I don't know if you have anything to add, Brandon.
No, it's just sad.
Yeah. So yeah, we are fortunately not going to end on those bummer news. We're going to talk about games that are coming out here in August and September, and let you know that there are some interesting games coming out that you might want to check out. So yeah, there's a stacked lineup here.
Oh yeah, this is going to be a really busy autumn. I'm just going to say right out the gate.
Yeah, and so we start here in August with the 4th, the Tuesday after next,
mm-hmm.
where we have one of the big games of the month, Beast of Reincarnation.
Yeah.
The new game from Game Freak.
Yep.
That is coming out on PS5, Xbox, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially their take on, you know, what if they made a Souls-like kind of game?
Yeah.
Full of, you know, gross enemies that you're cutting up and giving your own dog buddy kind of mm-hmm. gets some weirdness on him.
Mm-hmm.
He has like a plant tail, some sort of like vines, whatever is making up that tail there.
Mm-hmm.
That looks interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And that one's been getting some good buzz.
Yeah, it might be the first non-Pokemon related Game Freak release in a while that actually ends up being really good. Because some of their original projects over the last, say, 10, 15 years have been kind of hit or miss. But this one legit looks really awesome. Yeah. And, God, if I can find time to play it, I'm definitely going to give it a shot.
Yeah. There's that. Also on August 4th, Big Walk is out.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new game from developer House House.
Mm-hmm.
Published by Panic. This is the same studio that did Untitled Goose Game.
Mm.
Though in sort of contrast of that game, they've made sort of a cooperative adventure game here.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you are... these little weird little goober dudes that kind of walk around, either just goof around and have fun, or you find these different parts of the island or whatever you're on.
Yeah.
These like puzzles and challenges and whatnot
mm-hmm.
that oftentimes require a lot of communication,
mm-hmm. either
direct audio communication.
Yeah.
But it also has boards you can write on your messages, or you know, find other ways of communicating with people. And mm-hmm. yeah, that'll be on PS5, a Switch 2, and PC. It'll also be on PlayStation Plus as on the Essential
mm-hmm.
tier, so the monthly game.
Yeah,
it'll be available for that first month, starting in August. So yeah, that looks like a really cool one of these.
Didn't they have like a early access version of this that was out for a while? Because I'm pretty sure I've seen like maybe it was another game that looked similar, but yeah, this is one of those games that's going to be like huge with the streamer scene.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. Let's see. Also on the 4th is a game called Kynseed. That's K-Y-N Seed.
Mm-hmm.
This has been out on PC for a few years. But this is a life sim sandbox RPG. And again, it's finally come to consoles on a PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch on August 4th. And yeah, this is a studio that was founded by former Fable veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of bringing some of that to this kind of game. And it just looks like a pretty cool kind of game. A bunch of stuff in it since they've added a bunch of updates to the PC version and bringing all that tier to the consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that looks good. So that's the 4th. On the 5th, Akatori will be out. This is a game that I played a demo version of, I think, early this year that was pretty rough in...
Mm-hmm.
Some of its mechanics and all that, I think they've updated a bunch since then. I was trying to look through the news on the Steam page, and it was pretty annoying because they put a lot of like lore stuff in there to like add to the world building and all that, and I just wanted to see date notes. So I had to scroll through a bunch of that stuff to find it. But they have been working on a bunch of aspects of the game for launch, and so yeah, it'll be out on August 5th, followed by, yeah, I'll mention here a little later, August 12th will be coming to the other consoles, PlayStation, Xbox, and then Switch next, Switch 2 next year, so that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's improved from what the demo was, so Might have to check that one out. Let's see. The 6th of August, Echo Breaker is out. This is a neat looking, like, speed platformer, like speedrun kind of game to it that has a really nice kind of look to it. One of those games you kind of find the ways to get around obstacles and ways to cut through these tracks to, you know, get better times and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that looks pretty neat. That'll be out on the 6th. It's just PC.
Yeah. For now.
Also on the 6th, Marvel Tokon Fighting Souls for PS5 and PC.
Mm-hmm.
That game finally hitting in 2 weeks. And yeah, it still looks like a really, really interesting fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
As they just started announcing some of the DLC that'll be coming out for the first year. Which is, I forget what the first one is. Like, it's Phoenix Cyclops. So you get the Cyclops with sort of the Phoenix entity ingested into him. So, kind of a neat, like, extra look to him. But yeah, it looks like that should be a pretty fun time.
Definitely. I'm heavily, I am seriously anticipating that one.
Yeah. So yeah, we got that. And then also on the 6th, Restory. This is a game I played the playtest on Steam and then sent it along to Phil. Like, oh, this is probably also up your alley. He enjoyed it a lot too. So, that's looking really nice. It'll be out on August 6th, just PC for now. It's a game where you are running this little electronics repair shop and mostly fixing old tech. I don't know where. I think you're in like the early 2000s in Japan. You're fixing a lot of like old style cell phones and like a Atari 2600s. What else was there? There's PSPs and these are all fake except for the Ataris. They got a deal done with Atari to get the actual license for those devices, but the PSP has like a different brand name on it and all that, so you kind of just get people dropping off stuff like need to be fixed, and you kind of use the money to buy used hardware off of the internet that then you can, you know, fix up or use for parts or whatever, and use that to kind of resell things for money, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it has a really nice look to it and vibe for there. So yeah, that looks really nice. So there you go for that. That's pretty much it for that first week. For the following week, the 11th, Switch 2 owners get to find out how buggy the Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion Remastered is for them.
Yeah.
This has been pretty buggy for the consoles and PC.
Yeah.
So that's a game that will continue to be buggy, and now you can pay a bunch of money for that.
They say this is a remaster. Is this a remaster in the way that Morrowind was, in that they like updated all the graphics and everything, or is this just basically the same game again?
It's basically the same game, but they've redone all the visuals.
Ah.
So it looks better.
Oh, okay.
But it's still the same game, so it still has buggy and all that. Because, yeah, Microsoft didn't pay for them to fix all the bugs.
Yep.
So you get that. Not really too much that's been improved on it, so. There you go for that. Also have that drain your battery real fast.
Yep.
Then we got this also on the 11th. Grounded 2 hits PS5 alongside their big updates on Xbox and PC. Into the Abyss. That'll add some more stuff to the game, so.
Yeah.
You can check that one out. Let's see, on the 12th, as mentioned, Akatori is hitting PlayStation and Xbox, so you can check that one. The 13th has quite a few games. Dusk Fade, coming to PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC. This is sort of a 3D action platformer. kind of
Actually,
game.
it looks really neat too.
Yeah, there's a demo that's out now, so if you want to check it out ahead of launch, you can grab that and see like what's going on with this game. Because it does have a nice look to it and all that, so yeah, that one's not too far off. Also on the 13th, Rivage. This is a sci-fi first-person puzzle adventure game. So kind of, a little bit of like a Portal or that style of game, though this does not have Portal. Portals, you're exploring this space station and solving puzzles and all this kind of stuff that you're finding around it. That all looks pretty cool. The way you're doing things, you're finding out like what happened on this space station and ways to solve these various types of puzzles and all that. So that looks neat. We got this other game called Skate Steer. I think that's what it's called. I don't know. It's Skate, Sterre, two R's, two E's. And it seems like, based on the developer's name, which is Goon Squad, that it is a Tony Hawk style skateboarding game, but with only women skaters. Because yeah, I looked at the screenshots in the video, and all I saw were women. I'm like, all right, that's a little weird, especially like in bikinis and all that. And I'm like, it
Are we
doesn't
going
have,
back to like 2003 again, or?
at least for this studio. Like I didn't see like any like aggressive like boob physics or anything in this, but I also didn't like focus on that too much. But yeah, there's a bunch of outfit stuff to do, so you can, I guess, probably get real weird on that. But the everything else kind of looks more Tony Hawk-ish in the gameplay and all that, so that looks like that could be pretty fun. But yeah, it'll be we'll find out when that comes out. Okay, yeah, it says play as Dutch skateboarder Steer Meijer. Okay, Surf Steer. So it just has one character. This happens to be a blonde woman. So convenient. There you go. That's a real little game that could be promising. That's on a PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC. And last one here for the day, PS5, Xbox, and PC is Wild Blue Skies, the Star Fox style on-rail shooter. That looks pretty cool. I played the demo, and that seemed like a pretty solid one of those games.
And I'm pretty sure the programmer for the original Star Fox is involved in this game.
Yeah, maybe.
But it definitely looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Got a lot of interesting stuff going on there, so yeah, that looks like a fun one. You can check that one out, and that's it for that week. The third week of August, we got Entropy for the 18th. This is an early access game on PC. The way it's described as like a turn-based RPG set in hell or something like that. Got a very low lo-fi graphics, like PS1-ish kind of graphics to it. Some really interesting kind of world design and all that. And so yeah, looks pretty neat style-wise. So that one I think has still has a demo on Steam. You might be able to try it out. Yeah, still has a demo. Yeah, we'll be out to August 18th, so that looks like that should be pretty neat. I'm curious what the price is going to be, but I don't know if they've announced that yet. But yeah, there you go. There's one to keep an eye on. Then we got on the 20th, Mortal Shell 2. Yeah, finally making a sequel for Mortal Shell, which was one of the more interesting Souls-like games a few years ago. So they've made a sequel. Be out on PS5, Xbox, and PC. And yeah, looks like it could be pretty neat, so that's one you can keep an eye on. And then last one here for this week on the 20th, The Witch's Bakery.
Yep.
Which is described as a cozy side-scrolling adventure RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're a witch who opens her bakery in modern Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of a Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah.
To it, but I guess you're the one baking stuff instead of delivering it to people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that looks really neat, so.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a fun one if you need a little lower stakes game.
Mm-hmm.
There, so yeah, that's one to keep an eye on. And for the last week of the month, there's a lot going on here. Brigandine Abyss. This is a mm-hmm. turn-based RPG. A turn-based strategy RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Set in the Brigandine franchise, which has been around for a while. I just never have checked any of them out.
Mm.
Unfortunately, this is a PC on August 26th. PS5, Xbox, and Switch 2 on August
27th.
Mm-hmm. Be able to check those out. Yeah, published by NIS America.
Mm-hmm.
Which is your publisher if you want to put out a strategy RPG.
Mm.
Mostly what they do. So there you go. That's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Also, let's see, on the 27th, Kalanoro.
Mm.
This is a folklore-inspired action adventure game based around Malagasy folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I'm not 100% sure whose folklore that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Madagascar.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
A game based around their folklore that'll be out on August 27th for PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC. That demo has looked pretty good. I have not had a chance to check it out yet, but. Mm-hmm. The game looks pretty neat. Might be one to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the 27th, Lou's Lagoon. This is a cozy island adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you arrive on the tropical archipelago of Limbo. Your nasty storm has hit you, and their beloved Uncle Lou is missing. So you're mm-hmm. trying to explore the island and find him. Rebuild mm-hmm. communities and figure out what happened to your Uncle Lou.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems neat. Let's see. Also on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the long-awaited second collection of Metal Gear games that includes the long-awaited remaster of Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, which people have been waiting on to hit some platform other than PS3. Literally mm-hmm. since it came out. Because there were rumors that it was going to hit Xbox 360 at some point. But it never did. Even with all the memes of the huge box set of DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
To equal what the Blu-ray would be able to provide for that. So, yeah, luckily they've seemingly done a pretty good job remastering mm-hmm. that for, you know, modern platforms.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a pretty interesting game to play, especially if you've played the previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the game that kind of wraps up a lot of the loose ends of the, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
As well as stuff from 3.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a bunch of characters from that are just old at this point, so. Yeah. Along with that, you also get Peace Walker, the mm-hmm. HD collection version of that, as well as Metal Gear Ghost Babel, the Game Boy Color.
Yeah. Game. Mm-hmm.
Let's see, alongside that, you get a bunch of extra stuff there. The Metal Gear Solid 4 database, which was a really cool PS3 app that they put out that essentially mm-hmm. tracked your saves in the Metal Gear Solid 4 and, like, unlocked a bunch of background information mm-hmm. about characters and such as you play through the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could kind of explore like a wiki of sorts of Metal Gear information that wouldn't spoil anything for you. You get screenplay book and a master book for Metal Gear Solid 4, as well as screenplay book and master book for Peace Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And digital soundtrack that you can play music while you're browsing the menus in the main game, so
mm-hmm.
That's fun. That's something I'll probably have to grab when it comes out. Also out on the 27th, Resonance, A Plague Tale Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the newest game in the Plague Tale series.
Yeah.
Where it seems like they've dropped all pretense of not really being action games.
Mm-hmm.
As here you're just there to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
This is set 15 years before the first game, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Requiem, playing as Sophia, a fierce young plunderer.
Mm-hmm.
On the run and determined to uncover the secrets of her past. So, yeah. This one seems more combat-focused than
mm-hmm.
the first two games were. Where you'd have a little bit of combat, mostly were exploring environments and trying to stay away from enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But this one going a little bit of a different way, so yeah, that looks pretty neat. Let's see, and then the last one coming out on the 27th,
mm-hmm.
Star Wars Zero Company. This is the newest EA Star Wars game, basically a turn-based tactical game, almost like an mm-hmm. XCOM, but set in the Star Wars universe.
Mm.
I believe the things they've said about the campaign here is that you only have one Jedi on your team. Not like you're a team of Jedis or anything.
Yeah, in hindsight, that would make sense because otherwise, basically everyone on the team would be extremely OP.
Yeah.
Like if everybody is force sensitive, then basically all of them can do force stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems like this takes place during the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it seems like your main character is a former Galactic Republic officer, Hux, current leader of Zero Company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is your unconventional outfit of professionals for hire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Suicide Squad, your... what's the Marvel group with Rocket Raccoon and all that?
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. We have a Mandalorian here, a Jedi Padawan, a clone trooper. So yeah, you get one of every type of character.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's fun.
Yeah,
and that's looking really good. So that might be one to keep an eye on. So there you go. Mm-hmm. That's your that was all on the same day, the 27th. Those five mm-hmm. games. Then the 28th, we get Captain Tsubasa 2. World Fighters, mm-hmm. They're making another anime soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
That, will be out in August. And, let's see. Then they have another game coming out the same day. Mm-hmm. Elden Ring Tarnished Edition, Switch 2.
Yeah.
We'll see how well that runs.
Mm.
Because, yeah, like the early footage we saw of this game did not look good at all.
No, it did not.
It looked like it might even run worse than the other versions of the game,
mm-hmm.
which already didn't run all that well. So we'll see if this one runs any better or what else is going on here. So
mm-hmm.
there you go. And that one also comes with the Tarnished pack, whatever that is. That you can also buy for your other versions
mm-hmm.
of the game. Also includes Shadow of the Erdtree expansion. So you get a decent amount of stuff for your money there.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, that's your August. Anything there you're looking forward to, Brandon?
Oh yeah, definitely a couple. Just from the top, Beast of Reincarnation is definitely one because I want to see what that game's gonna be like and if it succeeds. Let's see. Also Marvel Tokon, Fighting Souls, that's an obvious one. Let's see. Duskfade is definitely one I'm going to keep an eye on. Wild Blue Skies as well. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. For me, Restory is one I want to check out. Hoping mm-hmm. to do a review for that. Hoping to get that pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to check out Akatori just to see if that's improved from the demo I played.
Mm-hmm.
How good that still seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Blue Skies was pretty fun in the demo, so that would be fun to check out. Yeah, the Witch's Bakery is one I would like to check out. That one seems pretty fun. It's like a chill game to play. I'll get the Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 2. I'm obligated to get any of the Kojima Metal Gear Solid games whenever they're available. That'll be fun to have a way to play Metal Gear Solid 4 on modern hardware.
Oh, yeah.
And I may also check out Star Wars Zero Company.
Because
that one also looks really cool, so... Yeah, that kind of seems what's there for me. For September, we got a bunch of more games here. Some have shuffled around as the result of everybody announcing they were coming out at the end of the month. So we got a few that moved for that. And so, yeah, on September 1st, we have Aerial Knights Mr. Freezy. This is, I think, the third Aerial Knights game. He's been making a bunch of smaller games that all are pretty cool.
Yeah.
This one seems to be what he's calling a lighthearted puzzle game. Plays a woman who is an axe-wielding serial killer. You're in New Detroit, so... Authorities are hunting a serial killer they call Mr. Freezy after hundreds of severed heads are discovered hidden inside freezers across the city. So, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're the woman that's help preparing the men.
Yeah.
For the killer. So, there you go.
Yep.
That's very lighthearted. let's see, on the second, there's Emery Hearts for the PC. This is a neat-looking game. This is a voxel action RPG. Almost like a bit of Zelda to this. As well as some decent action JRPG stuff here. That looks really nice. That'll be out on PC September 2nd, so. By developer Indie Dev Hell. So, there you go. Yeah, as we mentioned, September 3rd, Avatar Legends, the fighting game, will be out on Xbox, so. Xbox people will be able to check it out then. Also on the 3rd, The Blood of Dawnwalker is coming to PS5, Xbox, and PC. The first game from a studio of former CD Projekt Red people. That is pretty neat.
Oh, yeah. Our own Dan Reb got to preview this game, and he basically loved it. And I'm the one who's going to be reviewing it, so look forward to that in September, folks.
Yeah. Also on the 3rd, Orbitals, the Switch 2.
Yep.
The Switch 2 exclusive, so you'll only be able to check it out there. That is a game that's very much cribbing from the co-op adventure game stuff that's been popular of late. With all the what's their face? The blanket on their name, but yeah, that's looking pretty neat. It has a really nice like 80s anime style to it. So there's that. On the 4th, NBA 2K27 is out. PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC. It was pretty funny to see the cover athlete stuff get announced, and they don't have a Knicks player on the cover of this. Knicks fans are going nuts about it. You know, like they don't make these decisions before the finals are over. Like a couple months ago. So they were all getting offended, and it's like, all right, that's fine if you want to get offended by something that literally wasn't going to be based on who won the finals. So there you go. Yeah, so there you go. Let's see. Also on the 4th, as I mentioned, was supposed to be out like the 24th, but Onimusha Way of the Sword moved up to October 4th so that you can play it earlier.
Yeah.
I think it's the second game this year that Capcom has moved forward a bit because it's ready in time and could use the early launch. So, there you go. That looks like a pretty good one. Let's see. That's it for that first week. For the second week, we got on the 7th, Wheelmates. For PC, which is a cooperative adventure game. But instead of being characters, you are two vehicles. They're able to do a bunch of platforming stuff and puzzle solving and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
mm.
real weird, like RC car, co-op adventure game thing, but mm-hmm. looks neat. So that's one you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
On the 8th, Cold Sept the First Saturn Tribute
mm-hmm.
for PS5, Xbox, and Switch. This is the first of the Cold Sept games. Came out on the Saturn back in the day,
mm-hmm.
But it was only in Japan. Never got officially localized.
Mm-hmm.
So now they are finally localizing it for this release and making it available for people here in the West. So
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool. Came out on Steam. Or it'll be on Steam July 30th, but
mm-hmm.
coming out in the West on September 8th. That's one you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming out September 9th, Valheim is hitting 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be out on PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
After 5 years, one of the first big successes of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a PC early access game, and so finally will be coming out
mm-hmm.
Pretty soon. So there you go for that. Yeah, on the 10th here, Hot Wheels Infinite Rush, another game that was coming out, I think, on the 25th
mm-hmm.
Or the 24th, and has been moved up 2 weeks to September 10th.
Mm.
This is the sort of arcade racing game that I think has, yeah, like more open world islands to explore.
Mm-hmm.
With different themes to them that have, you know, a bunch of races and challenges and such you can do on them. So that one looks pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Then also on the 10th is Screenbound, the indie game that has a really neat hook to it. It'll be on PS5, Xbox, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
That will, it's a 3D platformer where you're kind of holding a Game Boy while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you will focus on the Game Boy and playing essentially a 2D version of the thing you're doing in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So you're potentially like seeing enemies there you wouldn't see normally, or finding obstacles that you wouldn't see normally, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. That adds like a neat hook to the game. So that one looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be out September 10th. That's it for that week. For the third week, we have Bright Train on the PC, which is a really weird-looking game. It's a train survival horror game,
mm-hmm.
but the like main character looks like an Animal Crossing dog character,
mm-hmm.
but with like a Dead Space kind of suit to you.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting like look to this whole thing, but yeah, you're like facing a bunch of almost like zombie-ish mm-hmm. kind of like teddy bear type enemies
mm-hmm.
That look really creepy and all that. So they're kind of making a horror game that's maybe not as super over the top on the scary vibes to it. So
mm-hmm.
that looks neat. Also on the 15th, Marvel's Wolverine will launch. So
mm-hmm.
Insomniac will have their next big Marvel game out. As you play Wolverine, cutting up dudes, having all sorts of fun bloody times there, so mm-hmm. that looks really fun. And then also on the 15th, RuneScape Dragon Wilds for PS5, mm. Xbox, Switch 2, and PC. Mm. The newest RuneScape game. It's more of an open world survival crafting game instead of the like RPG, the old school RPG, MMORPG mm-hmm. thing that the original game was.
Yeah.
Been in early access for on a PC for about a year or so. So it'll finally be hitting 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
And available on all the other platforms there. And it'll also be on PlayStation Plus.
Mm.
I think the extra tier
mm-hmm.
at launch. So you can check it out then. Let's see, on the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
There's a game called Another Eden Begins on Switch, Switch 2, and PC. This is a free-to-play time traveling turn-based RPG, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
From the way to describe it here. Maybe it's not free to play. Maybe I'm thinking of a different game. But yeah, this has the veteran director is Masato Kato, who worked on Chrono Trigger and Xenogears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, music done by Yasunori Mitsuda. of Xenogears and Chrono Cross fame.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, some more stuff there. So, yeah, that looks pretty neat. Kind of almost got, not really a HD 2D kind of look to it. It's maybe more just 2.5D look to it.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you can definitely see, like, the Chrono Trigger inspiration here and there.
Yeah. There's a little frog fighter character there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that looks neat. And then for the Switch 2, we got Fire Emblem Fortune's Weave.
Yes.
Seemingly like a return to form for the Fire Emblem series after releasing a game or so that kind of were more almost like gotcha games, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's your favorite characters that can all show up in your team from Fire Emblem history.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just collect them instead of them being part of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So this one has more just straight up regular Fire Emblem stuff going on here.
Yeah.
So that looks pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
But also on that same day, Trails in the Sky second chapter launches.
Yep.
Which also, I don't know if they've confirmed this for the West, but in Japan, they have a remaster of the original Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Like an HD remaster of that, so that's weird, and I don't know if it's been confirmed for the West yet or not, but mm-hmm. that would be neat. Yeah, so that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, they have an update here. I think the publisher is not involved in these releases in the Japan and mm-hmm. probably other Asian territories. So they have no announcement about getting a similar mm-hmm. bonus for the Western release.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. But also on the 17th, Trine 6 Together in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Is coming out. The sixth one of those. This one seems to upgrade it to 4 players at a time instead mm-hmm. of 3 in your party, which is a big change here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, seems like the series has kind of got back into shape, because I think 3 or 4 were the ones that people didn't really like super much. Mm-hmm. I think it was 4 especially, where they started doing more 3D stuff instead of just mm-hmm. The 2.5D stuff the series is known for. So, yeah, that looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 18th, The Grinch 2, Saving Christmas. This making the sequel to The Grinch that we've all mm-hmm. been waiting for
mm.
here. Yeah, it seems like you're doing all your Christmas stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As I say here, you decorate the ultimate Christmas tree for the Whos. Yeah, you wreck the Christmas tree before. So yeah, now you have to fix it again for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. I don't know if there's any big story thing going on here. It just seems like a
mm-hmm.
a decent platformer thing. 3D platformer, it looks like. So
mm-hmm.
there you go. And that's it for that week. And the let's see, on the 22nd, Dune mm-hmm. Awakening is coming to PS5 and Xbox. It's been out on PC for, yeah, since last summer. Mm-hmm. So now PS5 and Xbox, people can check it out. Like, it's still in early access, but I'm not sure about that, so I'll double check here. No, it seems like it's fully out. It's okay.
Mm.
You can check it out a few months before the new movie comes out. So, mm-hmm. there you go.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. And then let's see, on the 24th, a couple of games that remained here towards the end of the month, Control Resonant.
Mm-hmm.
Will finally be out, the sequel to Control, where Jesse's brother is finally free and able to get out into New York City, which has been taken over by the entity.
Mm-hmm.
Has escaped the Federal Bureau of Control's building. So mm-hmm. that's fun. The Hiss and the Mold have taken over New York City. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And also on the 24th, Silent Hill Downfall.
Mm-hmm.
which, you know, takes the Silent Hill fun into, like, New England.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think in Maine, maybe, some form of that. So they're probably not going to name a specific state, but mm-hmm. that seems the vibe of what their location is. It's called St. Amelia.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're playing as a black man that's in this city trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with the weird shit that's going on there, so.
Yeah.
That looks like that should be pretty cool. Especially after the last two games have been very good for Silent Hill fans.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we end the month here with Minecraft Dungeons 2 for PS5, Xbox, Switch, and Switch 2, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Some more, you know, Diablo-esque Minecraft fun. Hopefully it's better than the first game, because that game was just kind of very mindless to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not really all that much interesting going on there. So there's one to check out. And also on the 29th is Nibelous Nights.
Mm-hmm.
A cyberpunk life sim game.
Mm-hmm.
From the devs of Cloudpunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really, really interesting. From the way they've talked about this game, so that looks like that could be pretty neat.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is definitely something I'm interested in.
Yeah. Then I have three more games here that don't have dates yet, but are supposed to be out in September.
Mm-hmm.
There's Crimson Moon, a gothic adventure, action-adventure RPG. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is Souls-like. It doesn't seem like it could be, but it's definitely got a lot of those vibes to it.
Mm-hmm.
It may just play more like a regular action game than a Souls-like, but it has some of those vibes to it, so
mm-hmm.
there you go. Yeah, it seems like it might be more roguelite-esque there.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned replayable runs, so maybe we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Also, PBA is Colonel Hearts, PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC. This is a an action RPG with roguelike elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play with other people if you want. And yeah, you do a lot of fighting and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
That looks pretty fun. So there you go. And then the last one here is a game called Magical Blush.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like a Zelda-like top-down action adventure game. But more focused on, like, elemental combat with some, like, Metroid-y type of exploration
mm-hmm.
there. So that looks pretty neat, but also just doesn't have a specific date yet, just TBA
mm-hmm.
for that. So that's your September. And, yeah, anything there you're looking forward to, Brandon?
Oh, a few things, yeah. Obviously, the Blood of Dawn Walker is the big one. And like I said, I'm going to be reviewing that one, so look out for it. Orbitals, I would be looking forward to, except I'm a solitary gamer and don't have anyone to play it with, but I definitely hope that game takes off and does really well, because it looks like it deserves all the attention. Fright Train looks interesting. Might look into that. Marvel's Wolverine, definitely something I'm interested in. Fire Emblem Fortune's Weave is a big one. Absolutely. And I'm absolutely cannot wait to play that one. Control Resonant, also one, because I love the original Control, and really hope to be able to play that one. And Nibelous Nights definitely looks like something I'd be into.
Yeah. For me, looking here, Emery Hearts is one I would like to check out. We'll see how that works out. Onimusha might be interested in. We'll see how that goes. I played the first game, the remaster that Capcom did, and that's pretty neat, but I'm pretty sure this is not going to be tank controls or anything like that. Greenbound is one I'm really interested in. That's probably maybe the one I'm most interested in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just has looked really good every time I've seen it. There's also Marvel's Wolverine. Really excited for that. Insomniac doesn't miss on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe Another Eden Begins. I might check that one out as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check out Fire Emblem later. I don't have time for it right now. Or I won't have time for it when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Same for Trails in the Sky, second chapter. I got the first chapter, and I'm still working my way through that. So that'll be on sale at some point, and I'll get it mm-hmm. for cheaper. Whenever that's ready. I'd really like to play Control Resonant. That'd be really... That game looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah. That's mostly what I'm interested in there. So, yeah, there you go. There's your preview for games to look forward to here as we still deal with the hot weather for the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully start to cool down by the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I think that'll do it for the show this week. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Brandon for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and a new month with new problems to solve. As there's never not bad news
mm-hmm.
or anything going on here. So, yeah, we'll see what new things can happen, what new horrors will be unleashed this week.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you enjoy the show, feel free to let friends and family know. They should check it out and select strangers
mm-hmm.
Who are interested in video game podcasts and all that kind of fun stuff. Yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.